Fredrickson Elementary School, Building a Resilient Culture. This is a opt-in, stop-in book club portion of our staff meeting. We're studying Fostering Resilient Learners, Strategies for Creating a Trauma-Sensitive Classroom. Looking at part 4. In chapter 11, titled Forever Changed, Not Forever Damaged, you want to fly, you got to give up the stuff that weighs you down. Toni Morrison, Song of Solomon. Trauma, whether complex or acute, affects us. This much we know. The intensity, duration, and impact of traumatic experiences, however, vary from situation to situation and from individual to individual. In any case, I believe that those of us who have experienced trauma are forever changed. Not necessarily forever damaged. That part is up to us. The phrase, forever changed, not forever damaged, is a powerful statement. I use it with my clients to help them validate the significance of their experiences and to empower them to determine the degree to which those experiences will affect their lives. I also use it in my consultation practices with schools, judges, medical professionals, probation officers, children's administrators, anyone who works with humans in a caregiving capacity. Because we too often do view trauma-affected students and their families as forever damaged. Many victims of trauma do feel damaged by their experiences. They feel as if they will never be able to get over it and move on with their lives. It's not easy for them to give up on the stuff that weighs them down. Accepting the realities of their experiences is a difficult challenge. Some people allow the experiences to shape how they operate, with whom they interact, in fact, the very person they have become to be. Their histories of trauma become their script for current and future choices. When you learn that someone you know has experienced trauma, do you look at them differently? Does this traumatic experience become the focus of your gauge, your perceptions, and your thoughts? Can you see him as separate from his trauma, or do you allow the trauma to define him? Do you view him as broken? Do you support his belief that he is broken? If you have experienced some sort of traumatic event, how do you want others to see you? Would you like them to think immediately of your traumatic experience, or would you prefer that they completely ignore it? Or do you fall somewhere in the middle? Do you want others to view you as forever damaged, as broken and incapable of healing? How would this view empower anyone to do or be anything different? Skipping ahead to page 140, Pity and Low Expectations. Can we look at our students without seeing them as forever damaged? It can be challenging when we are familiar with a student's trauma history, when we are intimately aware of the abuse, neglect, or traumatic events that our students have suffered. It all becomes more real to us. Empathy is a good thing, but all too often I hear doubts about a student's learning capacity or ability to overcome the odds creep in as though trauma equated directly with school failure, and I wonder who gave us permission to quit. Do we give up because we're afraid that the student's experience may be his or her truth? Are we afraid we are not able to help, so quitting is our attempt to manage that overwhelming sense of hopelessness? How can we empower our students, as well as ourselves, to see their potential? Can you identify your struggling students within the first month of school? If you work in an early learning environment, you are probably particularly attuned to which of your students will be the hardest to work with and who will struggle more in life. Can you look past these students' challenges, or at least leverage them as learning and growing experiences? Which do you see first, the deficit or the strength? Many of us get hyper-focused on what happens during the 14 to 18 hours our students aren't with us. We feel frustrated by the choices that students' caregivers make and by what we feel like blatant sabotage of all the hard work we're doing in school. Sometimes we experience a sense of utter helplessness that threatens to destroy our motivation to keep going. So I want you to stop and think about the 6 to 10 hours you do have with those students. I want you to focus on the amazing things you can accomplish in those hours, because that is what you can control. We have an incredible opportunity in this period to show students what they are capable of, to expose them to different ways of being, to teach them healthy ways of managing, to empower them to learn and grow in productive ways, and to love them both for who they are and for who they may become. There's a section on focusing on strengths and potential, and after that is a great questionnaire where we're asked, to think about a student who is troubled or struggling in school in some way, reflect on the work that we've done with the student thus far, and answer the following questions. We're going to take the time today to think of someone in our classes and answer those 9 questions to the best of our ability. And then look to the next questions following up. Questions that will help support us in developing a plan to help that student. And there are 9 follow-up questions.